Today's digest for September 7th, 2026. 10 stories today, covering AI copyright litigation, the fight over Anthropic settlement money, agent access controls, a remote support tool being used to spread malware, a wide-ranging Apache Ant advisory, the scam economy underneath domain registration, and a leadership change at Apple's App Store. Here's the rundown. Two more newsrooms have decided the courts are the only place left to settle what AI companies owe them. The Seattle Times and Newsday filed suit against OpenAI and Microsoft in the Southern District of New York, arguing their journalism-trained ChatGPT and Copilot without permission or payment. The filing describes AI systems as rapacious consumers, devouring human-authored content and delivering back copies and derivative imitations, and argues the technology could leave journalism broken beyond repair by destroying the organizations that produce the source material. What makes this one land differently is the relationship behind it. Microsoft and OpenAI have both funded journalism projects and fellowships at the Seattle Times. The money that supported the newsroom and the models it says consumed its work came from the same two firms. A Microsoft spokesperson told GeekWire it was surprised by the lawsuit and happy to explore solutions. It follows the path the New York Times cut in 2023, and every regional paper behind it makes the settlement arithmetic harder to postpone. April Henry writes mysteries. Courtney Milan clerked for a federal judge before she wrote romance. Both are now doing line-item accounting on a settlement check. Anthropic's $1.5 billion copyright settlement approved in July pays $3,000 per pirated work, split evenly between author and publisher for books still in print, and paid entirely to the author when rights had already reverted. Two problems keep recurring. Publishers are claiming payment on books whose rights reverted years ago, and publishers are asking for the whole amount rather than their half. Literary agents who are not rights holders at all want a percentage on top. The cutoff deciding who collects the full $3,000 is August 10, 2022, so a clause signed decades ago determines who cashes the check. Those two stories are about accounting for what the models consumed. This one is about what they produce. OpenAI says it has reached what it calls an automated research intern, a system that can carry out well-defined research tasks that used to cost a skilled researcher days. The numbers underneath are the interesting part. Median daily token spend per OpenAI researcher passed $600 by mid-August, and the 90th percentile passed $7,000. The company says it now gets 3.1 agent workdays out of every 8 hours of human labor. The caveat sits in the same document. More than half the tasks estimated at 4 to 8 hours still needed a human to step in. Raise that throughput, and the oldest problem in software scales with it. Simon Willison spent the weekend arguing against what most teams assume the moment they inherit a mess. The instinct is to rewrite. The assumption is that a clean start beats a bad inheritance. Willison, drawing on a lobster's thread, and Will Larson's writing on migrations, makes the case that greenfield rewrites almost never work, and that the reason is structural rather than technical. The legacy system is a moving target because the business keeps changing it. The people still maintaining it have no reason to care. The replacement team is ambitious and, in his phrasing, probably a little naive about the complexity it just signed up for. The usual ending is two systems where there used to be one. His alternative is deliberately unglamorous. Shore up the old system with as much automated testing as you can stand, then find out whether targeted refactors get it into shape. To security now. Every ConnectWise Screen Connect deployment with file transfer permissions enabled is currently a malware distribution channel. Huntress documented attacks in which a rogue Screen Connect instance, planted through social engineering, spread worm-like across every new machine that connected to it, delivering persistence tooling, tunneling software, and cryptocurrency mining payloads. Cloud and on-premise deployments are both affected, current and legacy versions alike. As of the September 3rd advisory, ConnectWise had promised a CVE identifier and an official fix within the week, and neither has landed. The interim guidance is to disable file transfer permissions for technicians outright, which the vendor notes does not require a version upgrade. Defenders are told to audit logs, re-image anything compromised from clean media, and give on-premise installations extra scrutiny. Same pattern, different tool. Anyone running a Java build that fetches artifacts over FTP is exposed by a path traversal flaw in Apache Ant, the build system quietly holding up enterprise Java since the early 2000s. The flaw sits in its FTP and SCP tasks and allows arbitrary file writes outside the intended directory, meaning a hostile server on the far end can put files where your build has no business letting it. That is CVE 2026-78254, and the affected range is unusually wide, everything from version 1.2 through 1.10.17. Stefan Bodewig at Apache reported it. The fix is 1.10.18, and the recommendation is the short one. Upgrade. What connects this to the Screen Connect story is not the flaw class. It is that both are boring, trusted infrastructure holding standing permission to write files on machines nobody watches. There are 7 places an AI agent's access token can leak during entirely ordinary operation: the context window, tool call logs, the model provider's logs, standard output and standard error, error reporting, scratch files, and deliberate exfiltration. That inventory comes from WorkOS, arguing that handing an agent an OAuth token is simply the wrong shape. An agent runtime erases the boundary between trusted code and untrusted input, because the agent reads attacker-controlled material in the same context that holds its credentials. Their answer is a credential proxy that attaches the real credential after the agent's request leaves it. A different prescription for that same problem arrived the same week, and it points elsewhere. Chris Weber, Vice President of Product Marketing at Teleport, argues that keeping credentials out of an agent's hands does not go far enough, because zero trust as design does not describe what an agent is. His framing is that agents move fast like software, behave unpredictably like people, and run continuously in a way no human user does. He names 3 places the model breaks. Authentication is a point-in-time check, but an agent can act anonymously or impersonate a person. Permissions are scoped to individuals, but agents coordinate, and individually reasonable grants can turn destructive as a swarm, and agents drift. So the correct posture is to assume misalignment rather than test for it once. What he wants is isolated runtimes that start with 0 privileges, authorize each action explicitly, and expire when the task ends. Every one of those controls assumes the naming layer underneath is trustworthy. That is where the floor gives out. Terence Eden published a piece this week that Simon Willison summarized in 1 flat line. The purpose of DNS is to spread scams. The assumption is that domain registration is neutral plumbing with abuse at the margins. The measurements say otherwise. There were 85 million new generic top-level domain registrations in 2025. By May of that year, 8.5 million had already been added to blocklists. Interrail, the research group behind the report Eden draws on, treats a 10% abuse rate as the floor and puts the real figure closer to 20. Eden's own summary is blunter. 1 in 5 newly registered domains under a generic top-level domain is a scam. He calls it a bloody crisis. ICANN has been discussing the problem for years, which is close to his actual point. Registrations are the revenue and blocklists are somebody else's cost. Over at Apple, a departure with a date on it. Phil Schiller announced on August 31st that he is stepping down as head of the App Store to become an Apple Fellow. Bloomberg's Mark Gurman reports the stated reason, more time for family and philanthropy, is not the whole story. Gurman sources say Schiller was wary of plans by incoming chief executive John Ternus and services chief Eddie Q to improve App Store margins and bring in more recurring revenue. Schiller's read, per that reporting, was that pushing harder on profit would sharpen the conflicts Apple already has with developers and governments. That is a striking conclusion for the person who ran the store. Gurman says there was no blow-up over direction and Apple has not named a successor. It arrives inside a wave of executive changes following Tim Cook's handover, and while the commission structure Schiller defended is under legal pressure on 2 continents. The thread running through today is people auditing systems they had assumed somebody else was already checking. Publishing contracts, build tooling, domain registration, the credentials we hand to agents. Thanks for listening. I'm Shmoog, and I'll see you tomorrow.